protesting every word of the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, claiming the blood of Jesus Christ that renders him mute, wordless. I'd like to dismiss the kids to their classes. Praise God. Why don't you stand for a minute? Why don't you raise your hands into the air unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. Come on, give way. Give way. Take liberty in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let the anointing of your spirit fill this house, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I feel this been pressing up against me here just a little while this morning, and so it's kind of casting it out there before the Lord. Do you, is this for me just to think about, or is this for me to talk about? I want to express some faith. Okay. For some, this is an old story, but bear with me. When we arrived in Puyallup, I'm talking about my family, in November of 1995, the assembly was meeting in a building up on South Hill and battling every rainstorm. Worse yet, when snow came and sat on the roof. The foyer leaked like a sieve. The foyer, the entryway. If it was a big rain on, there were 5 to 7 buckets set around strategically in the foyer catching the water. There was so much moisture in the room, you know, every once in a while we'd have a shout down and, maybe somebody would run into the back wall. Finger impressions right through the sheetrock. It was soggy. The floor was a slab, and in the winter, it maintained the cold and radiated up. And I remember the question being asked, what are we going to do about a building? What are we going to do about a building? And I said, I don't know, I guess I'll get with a realtor and, what do we got to work with? Oh, okay. And went and looked, spent a week looking, came back with an answer. We're not doing nothing. We can't do anything. It's impossible for us to do us anything. And so we resolved that we were just going to live with what we had. Does anybody remember the window event? The window event. It started with 2 windows on the back side of the building. Somebody broke them. I think, was it Brother Lindsay? Was it you and I that fixed those windows? Okay. It was a week later, somebody came and broke all the windows out. Do you remember that? All the windows. And it was like, what's going on here? You know, things are a part of the journey. Sometimes we would even entertain the question, does he know where we are? Is he aware of this? Did he see those guys? Why didn't he stop him? Because there are things that are a part of the journey. And then there was the couple that came on a Christmas holiday, I think, to visit their granddaughter from Florida, the Hagas, Brother and Sister Haga. And they went back home, and then the Lord dealt with them about moving back up here. They sold two houses. I thought it was within a week or two. Never advertised. And so they accepted that as God's. And they came back up here and then approached us on one Wednesday night after we had come into this building about a piece of property that they'd had. Anyway, I don't want to take you through the whole thing. But the Lord showed us how he provided this building to us. I think we gave $17,000 down payment to buy this building. That left us $30,000 to remodel, which it needed really bad. There were five rooms up here. There was another sanctuary back there that used to have curtains across it. Anyway, we did all that we could with what we had, and we had enough. You remember? You help me finish this. Little is much when God is in it. I don't know what it is in the human nature at times that feels like God's got to give us millions of dollars in order for us to do anything. No, no. Little is much when he's in it. So without taking large offerings, without, you know, having a, I don't, never mind that. There was never a request that I can ever remember. Is that accurate, Brother Lindsay? We never asked or made an appeal. We worked with what we had, and God took what we had to give us a roof that shed water. And then the couple that came and donated this piece of soggy land that was out on the hill somewhere told us up front, this land is no good. Matter of fact, during the time we own it, it became 90% wetland, 5 acres of property, 90% wetland. However, when they donated the property, which is what they did, they just donated the property, quit claimed it to the church. We paid taxes on it for quite a while. Until we got it into a non-tax situation. There was a handful of us that went out and stood on the one dry spot on that property. Had a little prayer meeting. We dedicate this to you for your cause and purpose. Careful. And then each year we would get another piece of paper that said they were encroaching a little more. Started off at 70% wet, got to 90% wet, and I'm thinking, this is a worthless piece of land. What are we doing with this? And then there was a young man from the school district. I ran an ad one day, and he and his father called and said, we'd like to buy your piece of land. You don't mind me asking, do you? What are you going to do with this? Well, actually, you can take wetlands off of one piece of property and put them onto another piece of property. What? Yeah, that's what we want to do with that piece of property. We're not going to use it. We're not going to build anything on it. We're going to displace wetlands from another piece that we own and want to build on onto that. Are you serious? They paid us for that piece of property the amount that we paid for this building. And so, in essence, the Lord provided completely for this building. He gave us this. Okay? Now, the only reason I'm telling you this is something else I want to tell you. I'm driving through Sumner. And once in a while, you know, I drive past that old QFC store down there. I don't know who owns it now. Did you tell me somebody purchased it? Anyway, I'm dealing with this faint thought in my mind as I drive past that building. And then this is what follows. Nope. That ain't good enough. That's a junky building. It's got posts all through it. What you are going to provide to us is going to be better in that situation when the time comes. We're not shopping. We're not looking. We're always watching, though. We're always listening. And whatever it is that God has planned for the future. Now, this is one scenario as far as Life Church is concerned. We got another scenario in Kent. We got another scenario in Selah, Union Gap. You know the story of the Selah situation, how that came about. Now, we own that building. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm telling you this. The Lord knows where we are. And He knows where He's leading us and what all entails. I always felt like when this situation developed, this God was setting precedent with us. Okay? He'll not bring us into this situation and then put us into a situation that we would struggle with. Okay? I don't know what that's got to do with communion, but that's where my faith is. You know, we have questioned through the years. We've been here 20 years. And we've questioned through the years, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to, you know, oh, it's got issues, it's got problems. It was a gift. We're going to maintain the gift until God gives another gift. We're going to maintain the gift until God gives another gift. Okay. Brother Berglund, I would like for you to come. As I glanced over this group of people, I'm asking you to come. I want you to take this microphone. And as God leads you, I want you to pray. Lead us in prayer in however He would lead you in this moment. Would you come, please? Let's stand in agreement and pray together in unity.
Lord, our Father, in faith, we look to You, God, for guidance, for direction. Lord, we feel a stirring in our spirit, Lord. We feel, God, that what You've done before is indeed a precedent for our faith, God, for what You're going to do for us in the future. But, Lord, I feel it's not for us. But, God, I feel it's for these communities. It's not about this congregation, Lord. It's about tens of thousands of people in these communities that need to hear the gospel. And Lord, I'm asking, God, that You open doors, God. Give us, Lord God, a new vision. Give us, God, a new vision. Change our sights, Lord God. Change our purpose. Change our goal. It's not about a building. It's not about a small church. It's about communities that need to hear the gospel. I believe, God, that generations ago, God, that you put your mark upon these communities. I believe, God, that there have been prayers that have been said down through the generations, God, for Seattle, God, for Tacoma, Lord Jesus, for the side of the mountains, Lord God, for the valleys, Lord, on the other side of the mountains. And I believe, God, that we can be a part of that, Lord God, if we're willing to move in faith, Lord. God, give us, Lord Jesus, the steps to move in. God, give us, God, the ideas and the heart and the thoughts and the dreams, Lord. Put that into each and every one of us, Lord. Stir us in our spirit, Lord. Speak to us, God, as we read your word. God, excite us, Lord God, from the ministry that's preached from this pulpit, Lord, to do great things for your name, Lord Jesus, that your name would be lifted up, that your name would be glorified. Lord God, that this would become a praise to you, Lord God, that this would become a bright and shining light in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. One other thought while I was perusing all of that yesterday. I am a believer in that he is the source of it all. He is my source, and he is the source of it all. One writer said it this way: he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Now I got 15 cows. The scripture didn't say he's got 1,000 cows. It said he had the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can source anything. He spoke to a people about erecting a tabernacle in a place of wilderness. He gifted those that were among them with the abilities to build and make the things that he was instructing for. Spirit of wisdom came upon them. And before they left Egypt, he had Egypt giving them all of the things that they would need there in the wilderness to construct these things, the gold and the various things. Why would a people ever put themselves in a position or in a situation that they bared the weight of it all? I can't get away from this right now. We love you, Father. We believe you. We trust you, Father. You're all in all. It's in you that we live and move, have our being, Father. It is in you, Jesus. We wait upon you. I shared in Selah a couple weeks back. I feel to share this. I had a lot of symptoms I was dealing with, and at my wife's petition and request, I went to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with type 2 sugar diabetes. And they gave me some medication, said I would have to be on this medication the rest of my life. That didn't sit well with me. And then there were symptoms I was experiencing or side effects from the medication. And I cooperated for quite a while. Didn't I? Yeah. Until I finally said one day, I'm done with this stuff. I'm not taking it. He either knows where I'm at or he doesn't know where I'm at. Okay? Something began to develop on my index, my right index finger. I noticed the fingernail started splitting in the middle. And it was becoming an awkward situation that I couldn't stick my hand in my pocket without it catching a thread. And so I went to the nail salon. And they put a little fake nail on my fingernail to hold it together and to keep me from catching on things. And they said, now, that can only stay on there about a week. You'll have to come back and we'll have to redo that. Okay. I'm going to be out of the country for 10 days, but I'll be back as soon as I get back. I came back. They ground it off and they put another little nail on there and made it look like a man's fingernail. And it was working pretty good. I was going along with that. But something else had developed in my finger. I was getting a lot of pain around this, and it was turning black. And it was starting to move out through my finger. And one day I did something, and my hand went past my nose. And I thought, that is the smell of death. That finger's dying. Now, I had gotten in a car, or I'd flown back to Maryland for a meeting, and I was picked up by a couple of guys. I was sitting in the back. They were talking, and they started talking about somebody's wife that had bad sugar diabetes and had they already amputated her hand up to the wrist. And I thought to myself, oh. Listening. And so I started rehearsing the whole idea of, let me see, I'm 61. How many years might it, and how would I deal with that if that was my situation, and for how long? Anyhow, I'm at a meeting with Brother Wright. We're out to lunch. We're talking, serious. It goes on for hours, and I'm doing my best. Keep that finger covered up because it's looking bad by this time. And he looks down and he says, what's going on with your finger? I don't know. I said, my wife thinks it's because of the sugar diabetes. Have you been diagnosed? Yeah. What are you doing about it? I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me what to do. And so I waited. One day as I was driving down the road, what was I waiting for? I don't know. I figured I would know when it showed up. But I was driving down the road one day, and the Lord gave me a word in just a couple moments. And I spoke those words. Within a day, the blackness began to recede. The old nail was beginning to dry up and fall off. A new nail. I know. I now have restored feeling. I'd stopped using it on my phone even because I couldn't feel anymore. This is like a massage. Now, what I'm telling you is, I don't know why I'm telling you this. No, I know why. Waiting. I didn't know how long I would wait, and I didn't even know what I was waiting for until the moment those words came, and I spoke them, and I knew when I spoke them, that was the word of the Lord in this situation, and now I will watch for the change in the manifestation. Now, that may seem to be a small matter to you, the finger. This applies in any situation. I have communicated many times to my wife, there are some things in the kingdom of God that I have to own. I have to own it. And the only way you can own it is by walking through it. I feel such an elevation of faith right now in this room. Would you stand one more time? He knows where you are. He knows where you are. He knows. There's no question. There's no question. He knows where we are. He knows. He knows where we are. He knows every detail. His living word that produces life from the dead. He will give to you. He will give to you in a moment. An expression of faith. A living word. A living word. He said, let there be. And whenever he says, let there be, there is something in the natural world that is about to move. It's about to change. It's about to be manifested. This is why he would say to mankind, if you've got faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say under yonder mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. I don't know what your mountain is. But you know what? There is a waiting that doesn't have a clock. You're waiting when you're sleeping. You're waiting when you're eating. It's just a consciousness that he knows and you know. I'm just waiting for that word. I'm waiting for that word. That's where my faith is. It's in no place else. I'm not putting it in man. I'm putting it in you. And this is what I'm going to walk in. We submit these things to you, Father. We submit our lives unto you, Father. The things that we cannot even manage, Father. We submit them to you. We trust you, Father. We trust you with all things, Lord. We trust you with all peoples. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. This is my faith. This is my faith. I trust you. I believe you. I wait upon you. I wait upon you, Jesus. I wait upon you, Jesus. I wait upon you, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like as of eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint because they're waiting. They're waiting. Waiting doesn't diminish in time. The energy of waiting does not diminish in time. Because if I've waited 7 years and God's got an 8-year appointment, the closer I get to the appointment. It doesn't diminish. I'm getting that much closer. I'm getting that much closer. I'm waiting. The idea, the concept of importunity is based in waiting, not begging. It's going to prayer each time, again and again, knowing I prayed 8 times. I prayed 9 times. I prayed 15 times. I'm just that much closer to the importune point that God says, I cannot withhold this. It's his comparison. the unjust judge. That's his story. How much more will your heavenly Father give to his own elect? Come on, this is the living word that prevails right now in your situation. There's nothing that can resist it. Matter of fact, his word will not fail. It'll prosper whereunto he has sent it. It's gonna come to pass. This is the importance of waiting on his word. His word. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All things are possible to them that believe and that call upon your name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. I'm going to turn this to Elder Johnston.
Would you just close your eyes and wait on Jesus right now? Just wait on him for your own situation. Let him give you peace about your own situation right now. There's some of you, you've heard so much testimony that it's not just been somebody sharing stories, but it's an impartation of faith directly into your situation. The situation that you walked in here with, the situation you've been carrying around for years and questioning why and what is the end result of this. The Holy Ghost has imparted faith. And it just a mere moment of time, he's imparting faith, he's injecting faith into your situation. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There are situations in this room. I was sitting here a few minutes ago and I felt very strong when he was telling his story. How difficult that must be for you. I know how long you've waited with your shoulders and all the pain that you feel in your body, and yet he's got a finger and a fingernail that seems so insignificant in relation to the struggle that you have physically just to make it through some days. And he gets up and says, I waited on God and he healed my finger. Seems so insignificant. I understand the hardness of that. But God's imparting faith to you today. That in the same way that he can instantaneously begin a process that restores a finger. There's others of you in the room today who have struggled for years with ailments and issues in your body physically, and you've asked the Lord time and time and time again, and you have not stopped. You've not given up in faith, asking God for healing and believing that God is going to heal you. And there's dark days. There's dark times. You know the most difficult time to believe God for healing is when he tells somebody else that he's going to heal you. I told you the story when I had a herniated disc in my back in 2016, and the Lord told my wife, I'm going to heal your husband. And I was the one in pain. I was the one that was visiting with the surgeons. I was the one that was going to the doctor. And I needed help. I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand. I couldn't sit. I could be on my knees at the coffee table with my elbows on the coffee table, finding some sort of relief. While my kids looked and said, what's wrong with Dad? And my wife said, God's going to heal you. And I said, I'm going to go visit a surgeon in Seattle. She said, that's fine. You can visit her, but God's going to heal you. God told me he's going to heal you. And I still remember the Wednesday night I got home from church. I was in such pain from being here. And I was on my knees at the coffee table. And I said, babe, I know you're a woman of God. And I know that God speaks to you, but I need you to pray for me because this is your faith right now and not mine. And within a week, the pain was gone. I know how difficult it is when God is ministering, when God has healed somebody else. He's ministered to you through somebody else. And they've given you a word and said, God spoke to me and said he's going to heal you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to make a way for you. And then you have to live through the process of time until it happens. And then you see other people get healed and you think, you want to be excited. And you are. But deep down inside, as a child of God, you're like, but what about me, Father? You so easily healed a finger that was very obviously troubled. You healed it just like that. And here I am with this physical ailment or this situation in my life that God just, you're not doing it in the timing that I think it should be happening in. But it's in moments like this that he uses a word of testimony to bring a word of faith into a room. A few weeks ago, I was reading in Ephesians chapter 3. I have read the book of Ephesians for years. I have studied Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians for years. I think they're some of the most powerful scriptures to the New Testament church. But for the first time, about 2.5 weeks ago, I saw that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said that God, he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2, that God made me a steward of the grace to the Gentiles. God used a man to extend his grace, to impart his grace to a body of believers. He wrote that. Now, I understand it is the grace of God. It's not man's grace to give away. It's the grace of God. But God, when he began to share these testimonies today of what God has done and where God has brought us as a body, the things that God has done personally, I the Lord brought this back to me in Ephesians chapter 3 of the idea that he would use a vessel to be a steward of the grace of God. What he was talking about today in the things that transpired with this building are absolutely 100% the grace of God in action. It's his grace. It's his unmerited favor. We didn't do something special. We didn't put ourselves in and give enough to mission so that God would give us a building. It was 100% his grace. And God was reminding us through his vessel this morning, it's my grace that did this. It brought you thus far. This is not just for that. He was talking corporately. Here's what I felt. He was talking corporately. He talked about this facility. He talked about the facility in Sela that God has given us. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of real estate that God has handed to the church, his body. He was talking about that corporately. But here was what I begin to feel personally is that God was taking a corporate deal that he did for his body, a testimony, and reassuring individuals in this room who are under the sound of my voice right now and others who are going to listen to this within Life Church to let them know that he is just as concerned about the minor details of your life. There are some of you who are questioning, you got questions about your own situation, housing, jobs, all these kinds of things. And here we are on a Sunday where we think we've got this agenda that's been set in order that we're going to come in here today and do communion. And God says, no, stop. I got some people I need to infuse faith into today. There's some grace that needs to be imparted to the church. Great grace, as Paul would say. Go read all of his letters that he wrote to the church. He continually opened them and closed them with, grace be upon you. The grace of God be with you. He understood that the church was in need of the unmerited favor of God upon their lives. Listen, there's nothing you can do. You can't do enough good things to earn God blessing you and putting situations into your life. You can't do it. But when his grace gets in action and men begin to trust his grace, when men begin to wait upon him, and women, but when the body of believers begin to just wait upon him and they put themselves in a position of waiting. I've got a need, Father. I don't know what this is. I don't know what direction it is I'm supposed to go. But I've just got a need. Let's pray right now. Father, let not this moment pass us by. Let us understand the challenge that is before us in the Holy Ghost, Father. The challenging of our faith to trust you, to believe that you are able. You've reminded us once again. You're using our testimony, our history, once again to remind us that you are in control, that you see everything, that you know everything, that you're aware of it. And that you are working in your timing and your plan in the name of Jesus. Brother Heiner, would you come back to the keyboard real quick? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itararane sotororobakia tarabahaye. Ilarorondoria taye alalalabasitia rorobokia taye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'm telling you that the grace of God is real. It's active. And it's in operation right now. Just in the past 2 weeks, I have absolutely witnessed the grace of God in operation in my life. One turn right after the other. Now, in conjunction with that, there have been other things that have transpired that would cause you in the natural sense to question, well, what's going on? You understand that God oftentimes, he does things in such a way, he rolls out things in such a way for us, if I could use that term. He does it in such a way that there's no doubt in our mind that it's him that's doing it. So that in the process of time, when hope begins to wane and faith begins to fade, we can reach back to that moment that it began and realize, wait a minute, nope, my faith's fading right now and I'm giving up hope, but this was God who started this process. It was him who put me on this track, and I've got to reach back to that and hold on to that. Because right now I'm questioning, why? What am I doing? What's going on? And why is this going this way? From the moment that Bishop began to tell these stories today, I felt so strongly that God is wanting to minister to people. He's going to do some miraculous things right now. I'm sorry if I'm bold to say that. He's going to do some miraculous things. There's some of you that have been waiting long seasons of time for things. And the faith that's in the room today is for the miraculous. And you're going to begin to see doors open. You're begin to see some changes come about in things that you've prayed about, things that you have need of in your life that you've been waiting and questioning and waiting and questioning and waiting and questioning. And he just, it's isn't it amazing how unsuspecting the Lord is? We don't have to announce, come to church on Sunday, because if you miss this Sunday, God's going to. No, he says now, he prompts. You made the statement, he came up against something a couple times and he felt like, we got to do this now. I got to say this now. But that's because this is the moment that he has chosen. This is the moment that he's chosen. So I'm not going to put any parameters on it. I'm not going to tell you if it's that. But if you have a need, I'm going to invite you to the front of this room right now. Might have to move in tight. There's a lot of people coming, and more people than thought that would come. When you get here, I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to present that need before him one more time. If it's something that you've prayed about for a long time, if it's something you've been waiting on him for a long time, I want you to present that need before him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we know that you are well able right now, Father. We know that you are well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Father, there's a body of believers before me who have been waiting upon you, waiting upon your leading, Father. I pray great grace upon these gathered here at the front in the name of Jesus. I pray for open doors. I pray healing. I pray restoration in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the voice of the enemy right now that brings doubt, that causes unbelief. We take authority over it. We pray, let that voice be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, let the voice of truth prevail. Let the voice of faith prevail in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray, let the word of faith that has gone forth in this room today be sealed in our hearts, unable to be stolen by the enemy. Let it be sealed within us today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's it. Reach to him right now. Reach to him right now.
not a night too dark. A journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through. In time he'll make you new. 'Cause our God cares about us.
Aware of a couple of situations. I'm sure there are others here, and I waited on the Lord about this for a couple of minutes because I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. There's nothing more debilitating to a child of God than the wrestling with a job situation. It plagues your mind. It keeps you up at night. You just... Because if you don't have a job, you can't pay your bills. If you can't pay your bills, then you're not going to have anywhere to live. And it just, it's a process, and I've lived through it. Now, I know that there are a few you've communicated to me, hey, I need prayer about my job situation. I don't know if there are others here who are in that same cycle that I need God to work a miracle. And I'm telling you this. I'm appreciative of the ministry that has gone forth in this room, because some of the communication that I've gotten is, listen, I need you to pray for me about my job, and I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm not going to do anything until he... I'm telling you, that's what God's looking for. I'm not putting out applications everywhere. Where? It's just waiting. I'm not making a move. Bishop, the testimony you told a couple Wednesday nights ago about your job keeps coming back to me. Just waiting. There's something. You're going to open... You're going to do something. I'm not going to bolt and run. But you're going to open some door, and it's because it's your door, there's going to be the blessings of God upon it. The grace of God is going to be upon it. And for some of you, it's going to turn your situation around. Now, if you guys, could you take two steps left and two steps right? If you're up here in the front, just there you go. Wherever you want to separate, it's like the Red Sea. I'm going to ask Bishop to come, and I'm going to ask him to lay hands on anybody who you know, I need direction. I'm not looking for a new job, but I need direction concerning my employment. Now, if that means God's going to open another door and send me somewhere else, then so be it. But I need direction concerning my employment, whether I stay where I'm at, do I leave, whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to come and stand right here in this middle section that's opened up. Don't be shy. Come on over. Squeeze in. Don't be shy.
If you could distinguish yourself, I need to know exactly who you are, if others will move back away from you. Are you in this line, Brother Doyle? Are you in this line? You're good. Okay, right here. Before we do this, I felt to share this. The Lord did this for me. I get communication from Craiger. He's got a dumpster in front of his yard, on a dump trailer. Says his car won't pull it. Wants to know if I'll come with my truck and pull it. Okay, yeah, I can make that work. So I go hook up to his trailer, and it was heavy. I haul it out to the dump, and Graham... I get backed in there, and he's got this thing piled a mile high, and it's got carpet on top of it. Well, so I got to reach up and get this carpet off so that I can get this thing to dump. So I jump up onto a ledge, which because there's dirt all over it, I can't tell that there's a piece of wood upside down with a nail sticking up. And it goes right into my foot. I pulled that thing off. I got done with the project, headed back down road, and I'm thinking, when is the last time I had a tetanus shot? It's been too long. I called my wife, and she said, you better go by LaGerfo and get a shot. I'll call, see if I can get you an appointment. Okay, yeah, that's the smart thing to do. Now, you got to understand, he had also diagnosed me with high blood pressure, put me on metformin, and that came to an end, too. Okay? So what's the first thing they're going to do when I go into the doctor's office? I'm waiting for the speech. Nurse comes in. She takes my blood pressure. She says, it's perfect. Hello? Like, what are the numbers? And she tells me, it's perfect. I want to print out of that, please. Hey, get this though. The doctor comes in. He's kind of let down. What are you doing? Eating, working hard, living life. You're not taking anything? Nothing. Faux tie. Now, get this. I'm thinking, what was that all about? Why did I have to, you know, I was doing a good deed, and here I get step on this nail, and I got to go do this thing. I had never gone to the doctor. I had never checked my blood pressure. What was he doing? He was showing me. He was showing me. I have faith for your situation.
Brothers and sisters, let's pray together. Let's agree. All things are possible.
take a minute and greet somebody in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of unity in the body of Christ prevail among us. Please take a minute. Express your care to somebody in the room. In the name of Jesus. I'd like the ushers to bring the offering plates up to the front. You know, receiving of the offering has changed through the years. There are a lot of electronic methods that we participate in, whether it's bill pay.